Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Hallelujah. Come on. Well, amen. Amen. Well, as Ryan mentioned, expect H4G's recording album to 115. Amen. Come on. Come on. You can do it. Come on. Greater things are yet to be done. I'm excited again. Amen. We're going to allow our preacher to come forward for today. We have a guest speaker, as I told you guys. All of you that are here for the first time, welcome. I see some new faces. If you're here for the first time, just shoot your hand up so people can know. Amen. Amen. Ryan said enough, and I want the preacher to get up. Amen. Anybody excited about the word? How many people are happy or satisfied with where they are in their life? Are you satisfied where you are? Amen. How many people would love for God to upgrade them today? Come on. Upgrades are available today. You know, upgrade. Say there's an upgrade for me. Hallelujah. I don't know what you've been believing God for. I don't know what you've been expecting God for. But we have a special guest today. Now, the Bible says in the last days that he's going to pour out his spirit, and then people will begin to prophesy and dream dreams and have visions. And I don't believe that that's just going to happen just so we can have more spooky people in church. I believe God is going to pour out his spirit in a greater frequency in the last days, because we're going to need to hear his voice in a greater way in the last days. So God is raising up prophetic voices, people who are going to hear God. Now, I know we all can prophesy. That's what the Bible teaches us. All may prophesy. But then there are people who are gifted in an office where, as a prophet, they are responsible to guide the body of Christ in a greater capacity than just anybody else. And those are what we call prophets. They have a responsibility to guide. Apostles govern, prophets guide, evangelists gather, teachers ground you, build you up, and pastors guard you. And so every main office gift has a certain responsibility. Everybody is not one of those. But then we have those who the Bible says, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you shall receive the prophet's reward. The prophet's reward is the prophet himself. The Bible says, for example, that if you believe the prophets, you shall prosper. So there is a grace on the prophetic office to prosper you in life. Amen. So I want you guys to get ready to open up your hearts and receive a prophet. We're not talking about a renegade prophet, somebody who goes all over the place. We're somebody who is actually planted in a house. He serves, and he's actually trained under one of the great apostles in America, Apostle John Eckhart. So he's a trained prophet, even at his young age. But I believe he's going to be one of America's premier prophetic voices in our country. Amen? Amen. I just heard him preach. I love that. He preached two times today already. He preached at 9 a.m., and then at 11 at Love Tab, and now he's here. And I told him, I hope you're not going to be too tired by the time you get here. But I heard when people operate prophetically, the best is at the end. So we're going to get the overflow of the momentum from the last two services. Amen. Are we ready? Yeah. I don't know how you want to flow, if you want to teach, if you want to prophesy, however you want to do it. This is your floor right now. Let's at this time clap our hands and receive Prophet Amzi White, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. And if you're believing for a word from God, I want you to praise like you mean it. Give God praise like you mean it for what's about to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on.
Hallelujah. Come on and just lift your hands. Father, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for your grace in this place. If you can play something, I'm a worshiper of God right now. And I have two assignments, and I think the atmosphere is set for it. I have an assignment to release miracles, and I have an assignment to activate people in miracles. So today, sickness, diseases, infirmities, poverty will be broken. Somebody say that. It will be broken. It can be broken. And then I have an assignment to activate or to lay a mantle upon this house and upon the people that you will advance the kingdom of heaven through miracles. How many believe that? That God want to use you. God want to use you. It's the only thing I need is your faith. I don't care how old, how young you are. What has been said, what has been declared. God want to raise up a people who I feel is strong, that will advance his kingdom. Not just in this four walls, but in earth. These are the days of advancement. These are the days of expansion. These are the days in which the older generation looked for. And the mantle will drop today. How many believe that? The mantle, oh God, it's going to drop today. The mantle is going to drop today. Could you raise your hands? Just come here. Father, we honor you. We bless you, God. Have your way in this place. There is nobody like you. There is nobody like you. So, God, we love you. We ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name. Come on and clap your hands. Don't meet the standard of their name. But I'm hungry for God. And I feel a thirst in my spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God is God. And he loves us. He loves us. It's awesome, man. And because he loves us, miracles gonna happen. How many believe that? Miracles gonna happen. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise again for your pastor. I'm telling you, you guys have a humble pastor. And I believe that's why God's presence is here. It's like Numbers chapter 11. When God said Moses was one of the meekest men on the earth. And I just think it was, you know, in his generation. But I believe in one of my generations. I know Pastor J.R. is not too older than me, but I believe he's one of the humble and meekest men in my generation. Hallelujah. Habakkuk chapter 1, I can be that. I'm telling you, I'm a lover of God. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. How many know we need prophetic people to begin to see things? I'm talking about to really see things, what's going on. And it says, oh Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou would not hear me, even cry unto thee of violence, And thou wilt not say, why doest thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me. And there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore, for the law is slack, and judgment do never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteousness. Therefore, wrong judgment proceeded. And when you study what was taking place, Habakkuk, God began to show Habakkuk something. And what's the strange thing about it? God was showing him something, but at a moment he did not answer him. Is it ironic? Many of us have this burden, and that word burden, it was like a level of intercession where God was putting something on the inside of him for his city, for his region. And if we're going to begin to move with a topic, if you want to know the topic, it's advancing the kingdom of God through miracles. And I believe that many of us have a burden for our city. It's not just a level for miracles to break open in a church, but we need to see miracles for our city. How many believe that? That miracles need to matter. Could you turn me down a little bit? That miracles need to manifest for our city. And I believe God want to raise up a people in Brooklyn, a people in Manhattan, a people in the Bronx that begin to manifest the power of his kingdom through miracles and demonstrations in the earth. How many believe that? How many believe that God can use you to manifest the kingdom? I don't care what the devil said. I don't care what people have declared over this region. I don't care if people are allowing perversion to manifest. God can break the spirit of the enemy. How do we believe that? That God's going to raise up you, yes, you, to begin to advance the kingdom of heaven and miracles. And so we see Habakkuk. He was burdened. He was carrying the weight of the city. And he was like, God, why is you showing me this thing? If you're not going to do nothing about it, showing me the crime rate? Why is you showing me the prostitution? Why is you showing me the sinful nature? Why is you showing me the wickedness? God, what are you going to do? And then God begins to speak to him. In verse 5 it says, behold, ye among the heathens, and regard and wonder marvelously, I will work a work in your days. That word days deals with a time zone. That word work, it says, I will work a work. That first word work comes from the Hebrew word, and it means to create or to make something. He says, I will create a work. That second work, it actually deals with a miracle or it deals with some type of breakthrough. More or less, Habakkuk was saying a destructive city, and he said, God, what are you doing? And God responded to him and said, listen, I will create a miracle for you. I will create a breakthrough in your time zone. How many of us need God to create something for us in our listen? I got to the place, God, I don't need nothing. I don't need nothing for next year. I need something now. There are still prophetic words over my life for this year. I'm not jumping, I'm not shying for 2015. I need God to manifest his presence today. Today, listen, I can't wait a week. I can't wait 24 hours. And I believe there are some people in this place. You don't have time for 24-hour miracle. You need something now. You don't have time for a year miracle. You need a right now blessing. And that's what Habakkuk was saying. Listen, and God responded to him, said, listen, I'm going to be so detailed. I'm going to create a miracle. I'm going to create a breakthrough in your days. Listen, don't it be told unto you. You won't even believe it. And that's why God got to do something far beyond your mind. That's why God got to do something that'll cause the doctor to say, who is this God? That's what God did for King Nebuchadnezzar. Death will begin to prophesy. King Nebuchadnezzar moved in his dreams, and he began to prophesy unto him. And the word of the Lord came in Daniel chapter 4, where a prophet began to prophesy and articulate a dream. But the king was so wicked, God began to hit his life, that he rose up and said, listen, the kingdom of heaven, it rules in the kingdom of man, which means we are called to carry the kingdom. Say, sir, I dare you to hit somebody and say, listen, I'm called to carry the kingdom. I'm called to carry the kingdom. You got to know that you're called to carry the kingdom. And so Habakkuk was interceding. And listen, we know many of us going to get miracles today, but what you going to do when you leave this out this house? Are you going to activate people? And so you must have a burden for your city. I'm not talking about for the building. You must have a burden for your city. Many miracles that take place in my life are when I'm running, when I'm jogging, when I'm out in the street, when I'm helping people, when I'm in Kroger's, when I'm in Walmart. And this is where God manifests his power through healing. I know y'all in this vein. I know Pastor J.R. preached this. Habakkuk was in intercession. Go to Matthew chapter 10 real fast. I want you to see something. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. He's working something. He's working some. God is designing some things for us. There's a new mantle coming upon this generation. Listen, it's not the mantle A.A. Allen and Smith Wigglesworth and Benny Hinn operated in. It's the mantle for us. Listen, God ain't raising up another T.D. Jakes. He's not raising up another Juanita Bynum. He's raising up you that can carry a new mantle. Listen, I hate to prophesy. I hope I'm on TV or all. What the days of Benny Hinn, the days of T.D. Jakes, those days are over. But God want to raise up people that can take the church into a new place. Listen, if we keep walking around dead things and people that have old mantles, the church will never grow. But when God begin to anoint a new people, a new generation that have the ability to release new strategies, old people don't release new strategies. God will raise up somebody that can take the church into a new place of power, a new place of authority, a new place of breakthrough, a new place of strategies. And that's what God want to do. A new place. I told God I don't want nobody else's mantle. Y'all can have them. Y'all can have them. I want something fresh that'll raise the dead, that'll speak to cancer, that'll speak to AIDS, that'll speak to HIV. Yes, 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 yes. I feel something. I feel something. You're looking at a miracle. You're looking at a miracle. I'm telling you, I know what God can do. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I want you to see something real fast. And when he had called unto him his disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness. Somebody say heal. All manner of sickness. Come on, say that. Heal all manner of sickness. And all manner of diseases. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first Simon, who is called Peter. Let's jump past that. Go to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into the city of Samaria, and enter ye not. Verse 7. And as you go, preach or declare it or articulate it. Do something if you got to demonstrate it. Say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Number 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely you give. And I want to deal with this word lepers. When you know anything about lepers, it was a disease that caused people to be pushed out of the city. You couldn't be around people. You had this. And I run and think about it. I believe we have some people in Brooklyn that are feeling defeated, that are feeling lost. And it seems like people have pushed them out. People have pushed them. Listen, when folks get out of jail with these types of crime, what they gonna go to? Listen, that's why we need things in place for the church, things in place. And so there are people who are pushed away from the city, and what they need is a breakthrough from God. What they need is a miracle. And so God want to raise up people that can cleanse the lepers, what the doors back to society can be opened up for them. And we believe that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. We're going to do something. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 1 says, when Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and to preach in towns throughout the regions. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation out of this version. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah? Where we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone. And it's very crazy because John the Baptist, you see how he was preaching the kingdom and he was making a way for the kingdom to come. But all of a sudden, he finds himself in a rut or in a hard place, and he begins to ask the question, are you the Christ? How many of us have been there? We tell people about Jesus. We tell people about the healing power. But all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a hard place. And I remember a season in my life. Listen, April the 15th, I was in a hard place. And I'm talking about it was 2 days before that. I think it was April the 13th. I began to pray for a lady. Her womb opened up. And a month later, she got pregnant. I'm talking about what she haven't been able to have a baby in 13 years. But God began to manifest the kingdom of heaven. But on April the 15th, I found myself in a dark place. My dad died. IRS took $2,000 out my account. I lost my job. And also a check bounced because the money was gone. And the same day, they kicked me out of my apartment. And what I needed was the power of God. And so I understand being in a low place. I understand being in a place where you can preach and you can prophesy and you can see miracles. And all of a sudden, you feel yourself in a low place. I don't know about you, but have you ever been there that you come to church and you shout and you buckle? But all of a sudden you leave home and you're still defeated. You go home, you're still broke. You go home, you're still people acting up. And I was there. And so Jesus began to tell John, listen, you go, and I'm a paraphrase. You go and show John that the lame is walking, that the blind has received their sight, that the poor has received the gospel. And it's a season, I'm telling you, what the spirit of depression have hit many of you, and you feel inadequate, God's going to raise you up, and he's going to give you the same power to speak to Lazarus and call them things that be not as though they were. It's a season of elevation. God's going to raise you up, and he's going to give you power and authority to tread over scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The Bible declares that for this purpose, Christ was sent to manifest and break the powers of the enemy. I believe we're in a season, and God's going to raise up somebody that's been delivered that can go back to the powers of the enemy and to declare to those who are prostituting that you can be saved. God's going to raise up homosexuals and deliver them, that they'll go back and prophesy to those that are bound by perversion that you can be delivered. God's going to raise up those who are in the crack houses, and they can come out and they'll begin to prophesy that you can be delivered. God's going to raise up those who are bound by alcoholism, who's bound by addiction, that they can be delivered. The days of limitations are over. It's the days of advancement. It's a new generation arising. Listen, we're not going to buckle. We're not backing back because people don't want us. But we're going to extend the hand of the Lord, that miracle signs and wonders will be manifested. The Bible declares in Isaiah 53 verse 1, who will believe our report, and whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. The hand must be revealed. And I'm convinced that God's going to reveal his arm on us. He's going to cause us to extend his arm throughout society. How many believe that? Systems we must confront. Religious systems. Pharisees and Sadducees. This is when John, your reference is Matthew chapter 3. You don't have to go there. You can write it down. It talks about when John was preaching the kingdom. Preaching the kingdom, that people begin to come, Pharisees and religious people begin to come to try to stop him. Have you ever tried to do stuff and people want to stop you? Have you ever had a business and a dream, but religious folks, because we don't do it like that. We not haven't did it. We don't worship like that. They try to stop us. Sisters, we have to break. We must break tradition, sister. Mark 7 and 13 says, the tradition of man have made the word of God a non-effect. Spirits of perversion. 2 Peter chapter 3 and 16, it talks about those. It says this talk about those who are unstable. And that word unstable is connected to perversion. Well, people will try to twist the word of God. It says those who are unstable cannot receive, more or less, and I'm paraphrasing, receive the word of God. And so the spirit of perversion would twist people's minds and cause them not to see the infallible word of God as it is. This is why you have preachers who are perverted laying hands on people. Preachers who are perverted sleeping with folks in the church. People who are perverted. This is why laws are being. Listen, can I be honest? Why? We have 7 or 8 mega churches in Texas, but you allow the mayor who sit on your board to make a decision and say it's all right. Where's the power? Where's the power? He's a mega. So there's no power in the church. If the mayor can be on your leadership team, but still make a law to say that it's all right to pass a law for homosexuality. Listen, I was delivered from homosexuality, so I can preach against this spirit. And so they begin to make a law. And then it's a law that says, if you're going to preach, you got to type your notes up and let us see it first. But she helped make it. And she's a leader in this church, a mega church. If I say his name, somebody get mad. So it's a spirit of perversion. We must confront this. Perversion hinder miracles. How many believe that? Perversion hinder miracles. It hinder miracles. The spirit of witchcraft and sorcery. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 says this, that when Philip went in a region, it says this sorcerer, it bewitched them. Let me give the action, read it right. It said, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out himself was some great one. We must break this spirit. Let me know God called you to break the spirit of witchcraft and control and manipulation. If you do this, I do this. Let me know that's manipulation. If you give me some money, I do this. And check this out. Most people don't know that the spirit of the next one is we must break the spirit of divination. It's connected to witchcraft. But this is what men and women, they begin to prostitute. The Bible says this. It deals with money. I know it's witchcraft. But when you study Acts chapter 16, it said this damsel brought her master much gain. What that sound like? You brought your master much gain. And that word damsel means somebody who is under authority. And you could deal with it, either deal with a slave, certain people. And she brought her master. She didn't bring herself money. She brought him money. And so we must break this spirit of divination that controls people and manipulate their gifts. This is what prophets, folks, we got so many prophets in New York calling out names. I feel something. Master prophet. I know y'all ain't gonna like me, but it's all right. But when you manipulate, I'm telling you, I was blind in 2007. I was about to pay that $1,500 for the school of the prophet. When God activated me. And so we must break this foolishness. We must break the spirit of confusion. James 3:16 says, for whatever, where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Confusion open up the door to evil works. And this is why evil is in our city, because the spirit of confusion won't wrap it. But God want to raise up a people that can confront it. The spirit of Leviathan. In Job chapter 41, verse 34 says this. Well, 15 says this. His scales are his pride. Shut up together as with a closed seal. And verse 34 says, he beholdeth all high things. He is the king over the children of pride. He's the king of pride. Pride runs rapid in our city. And the last one, we must break the spirit of competition. And believe that God want to break the spirit of competition. We have so many churches on each corner. I'm talking about, I rode past it. I know I was counting about 8 churches on one block. And I bet you none of them is working together. It's a spirit of competition. Let's look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Father, thank you for the teaching mountain. I guess I needed that. I'm goofy, y'all. So how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Somebody say power. That comes anointing upon you. Listen, if we're going to do anything, it must come from the oil of God. It must come from an anointing. Who went about doing great and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. We're moving in a season where God's going to be with us. I believe it's Matthew chapter 28 or it's Mark chapter 16. It said they went for preaching and God confirming his word with signs following. And I'm believing that this is a season where signs and wonders is going to follow everybody in here. That when you go to Walmart, you can just begin to lay hands and touch people and you're going to see miracles break out. Listen, the days of confinements and the days of constrictions and resistance is over. It's over. It's over. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Of the devil. Go back to Matthew chapter 11. Real fast. I think I'm at, might be at verse 4. It says, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him, God bless those who do not turn away because of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to talk about the crowd. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? He was a weak, this Jesus talking about John the Baptist. Or were you expecting to see a man that dressed in expensive clothes? I'm reading from the New Living Translation. No, Jesus says, people with expensive clothes live in a palace. And more or less, people that think they're God at all do not manifest the kingdom. People, have you ever noticed people that really think they got it all do not really experience the power of God? Were you looking for a prophet? He says, yes, and it's more than a prophet. More than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you and will prepare you before you. I tell you the truth, of whom ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the last person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the time John the Baptist began to preach, saying the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. And the violent people are attacking it. The King James Version says, for the kingdom of heaven suffered violent, but the violent take it back by force. And so there's been people preaching the kingdom of heaven. But there's been people in our city that desire to stop it. There are people that don't want to see peace come in our city. There's people that don't want to see joy come in our city. And this is what took place in Acts chapter 8 when Philip began to break the spirit of sorcery. The Bible said after that spirit broke, great joy was in the city. And I believe great joy needs to come to Brooklyn. How many of us believe that? That great joy is going to come to our city. Great peace is going to come to our city. Why? Because God's going to raise you up to begin to demonstrate his power throughout the earth. God's going to raise you up to begin to manifest his presence in the earth. Why? Because Daniel chapter 10 says, they that know my God will be strong and do exploits. Listen, you don't have to have all the revelation. You don't have to know all the theology. But one thing you got to know, that your God is a strong tower. I'm telling you, it's a generation rising up. We might not quote scriptures like everybody else, but one thing we do know, we know our God. We know our God. You can't tell me nothing different. Because when I was stuck, it was the power of God that brought me out. It was the power of God that brought us out. It was the power of God that brought us out. One more scripture. One more scripture. Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, he ceased, and one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. Now this is key, because he never said, God, teach me how to lay hands on the sick. They never said, Lord, teach me how to work miracles. They understood that. But one of the things they saw Jesus' prayer life. They saw that every time he went to a mountain, he came back and manifested the kingdom. He would go up and pray. He would come back and raise the dead. He would go up and pray. He'll come back and speak to a lady that had an issue, and it'll dry up. He'll go up and pray. So they said, God, listen, teach us how to pray. Or teach us that word pray. When you study, it means to articulate. Teach us how to articulate. And then verse 2 says, and he said unto them, when you pray or articulate, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it in heaven, so in earth. That word come means to manifest. That word will be done. It actually deals with God, let your kingdom come and let it manifest, or let it expand, or let it advance. And I believe if we're going to begin to do things, our prayer life must become strong. We must build ourselves up. There must be some type of volume on the inside of us to declare unto the powers of hell that you are breaking. To declare, listen, Jesus said in Matthew 16, he said, the church I will build, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm ready to move in the things of God. Come on, stand on your feet. I wasn't going to be before you long. Well, just begin to, could you play? We're going to do two things. First, we're going to lay hands on those that want it. We're not trying to make you fall out. We don't need you to fall out. We're just going to lay hands on you and activate a strong miracle anointing. Then we're going to call the next line. Those that are sick, those that are bound, those that need any type of miracle, you're going to get it today. How many of us believe that? Come on, so just begin to worship and pray. If you don't speak in tongues, it do not mean you don't have the Holy Ghost. But if those that have their heavenly language, just begin to pray. And if you don't have it, just begin to thank God. Come on, let new utterance and groanings be released. Those that want to be activated in miracle signs and want to come over. We're going to lay hands on you. We're just going to, if we can get a line right here, I can get an usher just to. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to activate you in the things of God. All right? And then the second line. So those that just want to be activated, listen, we don't want you to fall out, but we got a long line. Unless the power of God hits you. But then we're going to call another line, and we're going to release miracles. So those that are bound, sick, any type of miracle you need, God want to manifest himself today. How many believe that?